board members, we need to come up with closure. So let's get some motions on the table.
Can I ask that a board member, do you see this as non-disciplinary or disciplinary?
I see this as disciplinary action. I see a clear known violation with intent, regardless of retrospect. Charting is an intimate part of the physician-doctor relationship. It's meant to be minimally constant record for the continuation of care, but based on findings, and it is performed by somebody licensed by this board. The TMT, the ability for us to prescribe and participate as named physicians in the Medical Marijuana Act is something that is important in this profession.
Martin. I agree with this point. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to make a motion.
Go ahead.
I'd like to make a motion for a consent agreement of disciplinary action with probation with terms. And the terms would be CME order for 10 hours of charting, an additional 10 hours of ethics and medicine, and a chart review in 1 month of 5 cases.
Five
cases in the same time period, January 1st, 2018 to June 30th, 2018.
Are you quoting those on top of the 30 she's required to do?
Those are the facts on top of the 30 that she's required to do. If there's more incidents, it's not for continuation of license, renewal of license.
So, Dr. Mitchell, for the, if you want to continue to review her charge from January 1st, 2018, through June 30th, 2018, are you suggesting you want to keep the investigation open to review past charge?
I am. I'm so moved.
Okay, so you're keeping the investigation open rather than looking forward. You're not offering a consent.
We're going to do a 6 month review and see how the chart notes are.
I get it. I would submit that it's more valuable to look at practices on phone.
If you can say
that. I'm going to add to my motion. So I'm going to retract the chart review from that motion. I am also going to ask that the CME be completed within 3 months' time. And that 3 months after that, 6 months from now, we look at 5 charts.
I look at 5 charts, talking about 5 random pick charts.
Yes.
Okay. Are we talking about some deal on in the future, or are we talking about the past?
When she completes the CME chart notes at that point.
The charts from month 4 through 6.
Yes. From terms 4 through 6.
I
second
that motion. So it's to a probation and it's just 6 months, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Is there any further discussion?
How long have you always been restricting yourself with regards to prescribing for certain time from this now on?
I want to say, I don't remember what was the date you sent the that you and I, we spoke on the phone after that, the board hearing, you can clear the date.
What is it? I'm sorry, I didn't.
How long has she been not certifying for medical marijuana? Self-limited her ability to certify. I didn't know if it was like a month or something.
I still want to say something that's not right on the dot.
Yeah.
I'm curious about a month.
Since you guys, we were on board for the actual meeting.
It was only the first, just when I got involved, one of the first discussions we had, and I said, I was down for it. Until we had this straightened out, I did not feel it was appropriate to continue doing certification.
I don't want to impede, your income. However, take another 30 days off and get your system down pat. Okay?
Sure.
So that when you do go back to this portion of your practice, you'll have that all, you know, ready to go. Right. Would that work for you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, Dr. Rubin, do you want to add maybe provision that the board will terminate probation upon the review of the final charge?
The probation that will be
actually the decision to terminate probation is at the discretion of the board. Assuming after you review the final charge.
So added to the motion.
Yeah. And this is based upon the information contained in the investigative report?
Yes.
We have a motion and a second. Would you mind summarizing or just giving it a week to summarize?
Well, that's your intention for discipline, for probation for 6 months, and the board will review at the end of the 6 months upon review of the five charges that were selected through March 3-6. And then in March 1-3, 10 hours of CE interning, 10 hours of CE and medical ethics, which is in addition to the requirements for the board. Based upon information contained in the
So we have a second, so let's have a form as well. Okay.
Dr. Rubin.
Aye.
Dr. Scott.
Aye.
Dr. Popio.
Aye.
Dr. Sadler.
Aye.
Ms. Kibbitt.
Aye.
Motion carries.
We'll draft it up with the top floor and be in touch.
Looking forward to the speaking consideration today. And I just want to clarify and include another problem going forward. It's properly charged. Dr. Tan will rely on chiropractic records, correct, for initial language, for initial diagnosis.
I think, yes, as an initial way to open the door, fine, but then go through every the system check here. You know, try for radiology, get as much data as you can.
I always do, but in the case I just got here for the future, should I just not, just to be safe, should I just not certify those coming specifically from even same day, you know, because that was brought up?
My best suggestion is to understand the lane that you prefer for your medical practice and your experience moving forward as a licensed physician and do what you believe you're qualified to do. I don't think we should give you any other advice. That's your purpose.
But the issue of the chiropractic being somebody is fine.
What has your
today? How do you rule that? We can't say anything about that.
Right. What has your today? There is no one that's rule against. As long as it's probably charged.
I would suggest that you look at the definitions of the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act and help you change your mind. But we're not going to tell you in the past.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to stay in number five. Next case, we'll take an order, which will be Dr. Carla Briatti's case number 18-107. Legal counsel. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is case number 18-107. This complaint was filed with the board by Dr. Brian Archambault, who alleges inappropriate prescribing of controlled substance on the part of respondent. According to Dr. Archambault, while respondent was his employment, he became aware she was prescribing Xanax to her then boyfriend, PC.
I'd like to go with the chairman, please. Thank you. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, thank you for the opportunity to address you today.
We respectfully request that you dismiss the complaint against Dr. Ferrante for the following reasons. Dr. Ferrante prepares adequate medical records pursuant to ARS 3315.01, subsection 3, and appropriately diagnosed and treated patient PC. Dr. Ferrante entered into his personal relationship with PC almost 1 year before she began treating him. In our supplemental response, we cited ARS 13-1401, subsection 27, which commits a personal relationship if that relationship pre-existed the physician-patient relationship, which it did in this case. In addition to having her patient sign a controlled substance agreement and checking the PMP, Dr. Briante has also instituted your drug screen for patients receiving controlled substances. Recently, Dr. Briante completed 3 continuing education courses on benzodiazepines, ethics and clinical work, plus ethics and boundary issues. We have these weeks submitted these certificates to the board. We have also provided the board with a letter of support from Dr. Teresa Ramsey. Dr. Ramsey works with Dr. Briante at the Center for Natural Healing. In her letter, Dr. Briante states that Dr. Briante is an ethical, knowledgeable, and caring physician. Dr. Ramsey, who was patient IT regularly seen naturopathic physician, confirmed Dr. Briante's statement that she never received a letter from the patient's insurance company regarding the FDA labeling changes. Dr. Ramsey also confirmed that Dr. Briante's treatment of IT was successful. Neither PC nor IT has filed a board complaint against Dr. Briante, and there was no patient harm. Finally, Dr. Briante did not violate ARS 3215.01 subsection X because nothing inappropriate occurred in the direct course of treatment. We respectfully ask the board to dismiss this case. Thank you.
Taking the question went to the earlier. It looked like from the note you accompanied him there.
Yeah.
And then was it 2 days later you gave him the 90 of Xanax after he had been in surgery care?
I prescribed that to him on
and then later, it looked like you terminated the relationship, prior to terminating the relationship, you refilled his prescription again?
I did not terminate the relationship.
Okay, so the relationship's ongoing.
Yeah.
Which relationship? The doctor-patient or the
The doctor-patient.
Oh, right, it was terminated on the May 7th.
Okay.
That came out on the discharge.
Okay. So you sent him, you referred him to another physician?
I did.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, I'd like to make a statement.
Sure.
So, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to speak with you this afternoon. And I respectfully submit that my treatment of patient PC met the standard of care, and my attorney stated my relationship with PC pre-existed my professional relationship with him by approximately 10 months. And if this Mr. King did not violate ARS 3215.01 or ARS 3215.01. After I established a doctor-patient relationship with CC, I appropriately assessed and treated the patient for pain in his head, for his shoulder, and upper back, as well as treated some exciting naturopathic remedies, acupuncture, and benzodiazepine following the motor vehicle accident on August 17. Then on May 7th, 2018, when I discharged him because he failed to disclose he was getting a prescription from another healthcare provider, in Nevada that was a controlled substance. His lack of disclosure was in violation of our controlled substance agreement. At that point, I agreed to provide medical care for 30 days, and that's my prescription out for behavior health outpatient services. In the future, that was treatment that you already had a prior relationship with. Regarding the other patient pharmacies and Dr. Archibald's claims, as stated in my initial board response, my former workplace was sent a letter of patient safety and concerns from Express Scripts, which was addressed to me as a prescribing physician. This letter was never forwarded to me or the staff at Center for Natural Healing, and only to the Arizona Natural Health Institution for approximately 1 month after I received the prescription. Consequently, I did not know that the FDA changed its positioning regarding cost of presence-containing opioids to patients under the age of 18 until I received a board complaint on December 28, 2018, 79 days after I received her prescription. In my training, I was taught that such an excess could be prescribed safely to patients to address an underlying cost. IP was 15 years old at the time, and I gave her a short-term dose that was previously recommended for children 6 to 11 from 1987 to 2018. And this was given in conjunction with naturopathic approaches. The patient recovered without any negative effect, and I no longer prescribe opioids containing cough syrup to pediatric patients that are 18. So I respect the FDA to dismiss the case.
Did you provide, let me digress here for a moment, did you provide the patient CT, did you provide him a 30-day dismissal letter? Did you give him?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So he was aware of that?
He was aware of that,
you were terminating the
And I gave, I gave two referrals to outpatient behavioral health services as well.
As you were seeing him and prescribing, did you at all think this may be a problem since it was a benzodiazepine, a C3?
I thought, you know, I was trying to help him get off of it, and, you know, there were, you know, plans for weaning to help him get off of it, and referrals throughout his case to getting counseling, he was going for EMDR as well.
And let me ask, if he's not here, Dr. Archibald, why do you think he did as much background work on this case? Do you have any idea? Is there a disagreement between the two of you?
There, well, his wife was the office manager at the time, and she had answered the phone with long lead calls to notify me of potential interactions. I never got a chance to talk to them directly and went straight to Dr. Archibald because his wife was the office manager. And at that point, he was demanding that he get the patient's full name, date of birth. And all patients that I've ever seen in the last year before my appointment there, so he could look them up the TMP. At that point, I let him know that that was a HIPAA violation, that I would not provide him that information. I called Walgreens myself. I couldn't get to the pharmacist. They called back when I was, it was after work hours, it was after 5, because he texted me that evening to let me know that they had called, and that's when he obtained PC's date of birth and talked to the pharmacist. Then I suspect looked them up in the TMT as well.
Have you spoken with him? Jared, did you speak with him at that time, trying to rectify or the situation prior to him filing this timing?
He sent me a letter stating that it was a violation of his unprofessional conduct and that he was threatening to report me to the board, to ICE, and fire me if I did not provide him with monthly printouts of my TMP. And he was subjecting me to a drug screening test myself if I did not comply.
And I would assume you no longer.
Yeah, terminated my resignation. I gave my resignation in June of 2018. I left on the 27th of September 2018.
I mean, it's a way I'm seeing it, and I've kind of been turned over to the board. It's a real fine line, especially when you're doing the C3s with somebody you're either seen as a friend or you have a friendship with, etc. That's where this becomes, you know, somewhat problematic. I think you already know that now. But I'll just address, you know, this particular Xanax situation. The other one, you have to see where that would be an oversight of the Xanax simply because it didn't change the labeling. There's always, as you know, Tessalon, other things to use. It depends really clinically what you're feeling comfortable with. But that's my opinion, and let me see if we're on the board members of the day. So the first one is the Xanax for the patient.
I mean, I don't understand what the issue is. It doesn't seem, I read this several times
right.
In the records, and I still don't understand what the true complaint is, or what the ground is. So I listen to you, I listen to counsel and the doctor, and I don't think I see anything here that I'm understanding clearly the violation of my
Mr. Chairman, I think if you look Dr. Bianchi's notes, they're very detailed. She got the x-rays from the father's smoke from the virgin chair. She tried different modalities, non-opioid modalities, non-benzo modalities to try to assist pain. And then when she found out that he was taking opioid for somebody else, and she discharged him. And actually, the May 7, 2018 discharge letter is part of the charge that we provide.
Okay. While we're talking about the notes, what system do you use here to chart notes? Out of curiosity.
At that point, right now I'm using Charm, but at that point I was using Word.
I was going to ask if that was just a straight Word document, so there's no documentation. When you did the note, signed off on the note, et cetera.
No. And even when I was working at West Valley, you know, we were on paper charts at that point. I kept all my records at that point because I didn't handwrite them. I gave them all in Word and put them up with a little chart.
And he is seen, from what you're aware of, he has started seeing another practitioner.
Yes.
Other options are dismissal or concern, not disciplinary?
I'm thinking, where it became somewhat frictional was with the prescription and the, you know, relationship, although they somewhat were at the same time and superseded each other. So my only issue would be, you know, just a letter of concern that you make sure that you draw that clear line between prescribing and it's very difficult because a lot of people tend to be friends and will rely on you for advice, and perhaps then at that point just watch the category of drug you're prescribing to them, because then you start walking that real fine line, especially if it turns into a C3 and more so a C2.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, just briefly, I understand the statute that was cited about permitting a personal relationship and allowing to treat a patient is a medical board statute, but there is a statute on point that allows that, and it's not unprofessional conduct. And I would ask the board respectfully to consider that and dismiss the case. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm curious why you asked for a letter of concern regarding that.
Just the crossover. If it was a seat, you know, seat five, seat four, it wouldn't be much of a problem. I'm able to, you know, to move through it.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I think the point with the prescription for the pediatric was pretty much understood. And that could happen to anybody in this room.
But if a patient did indeed need it, and it's medically level, and there's no violation, I don't have a concern.
Okay.
That's why I asked that.
All right, so we'll make a motion to dismiss.
Second.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Dr. Scott?
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Dr. Shalvis?
Aye.
Ms. Kibitz?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Number five, we're going to go on to 5C, Dr. Keisha Ramsey, case number 19-110.
Members of the board, this is case number 19-110. This complaint was filed with the board by Dr. Margaret Beeson, a naturopathic physician practicing in Montana. Dr. Beeson alleges gross negligence on the part of respondent by prescribing hormones without monitoring her cervical uterine health in patient CL, who ultimately developed cancer.
Is the complaint in here? Dr. Ramsey?
Sorry. During my practice of 23 years, I've seen urine cancer one time, and that patient is still a patient of mine, and her physician told her it was a non-hormonal urine cancer. Never have I ever seen urine cancer with the hormones that I prescribe. I understand that I prescribe differently than many physicians in the Valley, and I'm very comfortable with that because what I prescribe represents what the research says. And the cause of uterine cancer from a hormonal perspective is unopposed estrogen. And this was discovered 10 years after primary came on the market in 1941. Every woman who has a uterus has uterine cancer. So we learned that we need to oppose estrogen to prevent uterine cancer. And throughout the care that she was with me, her progesterone levels were superior, 20 or greater, is what is protected, and she's certainly within those ranges. And I tell my patients that I'm not a gynecologist. You need to take care of your visits with your primary, with your GYN. And she had told me she had recently seen her, she sees her doctor yearly. So I only wear ultrasound in my women who bleed, fibroids, who have complained about it. I do wear a public ultrasound. Otherwise, I don't.
Is your first encounter, the patient comes in, you examine the patient, she gives your medical history. Do you do a complete exam on them?
I don't do a complete exam. I don't do the pap smear. I mean, if they ask me to do the pap smear, I will. But can I focus on the HRT? That's my specialty. Other doctors in my office do the pap smear, not me. And I would ask them to do it, but I didn't have a need to at that point because she had seen her doctor shortly before she became a patient of mine.
Okay.
Interest of pie. Why don't you order the mammograms and do the PAPs?
I do, for those who want me to. Like on the primary care, I do that. It's just a lot to change when I'm focusing on the hormone. Because to me, the specialty is intense. And because I'm the only one in the Valley or one of the few that prescribes like I do, that's where my focus is, not on doing imaging. So even
My question is if there's a potential issue in a hormone responsive tissue in from very high doses of hormones, why would you be obligated to be the one to follow those when you're the cause of the hormone levels?
I don't believe this is hormonal induced.
No, I'm saying in general, in your practice, if you're the one that's causing out of standard range hormones, why wouldn't you feel obligated to be the one to follow them? The prescribing is intense and everything, but it's not that hard to write a manual.
Right.
If there's somebody you're obviously at,
No, you're absolutely right. I don't see breast cancer often. I saw it one time. Like, I don't see pathology cancer in my patient population because I'm protecting them. Like, I truly believe that. That's what the literature says. You know, precision hormones increase the risk of cancer, prostate, breast cancer, all cancers, and colon cancer. So I don't do that unless there is a request or a concern. If I have a female that has a breast issue, I absolutely refer her for mammogram. But if I'm not, if a patient's not telling me she has a lump, she has bleeding, I don't, that's not what I don't recommend that. And if you're saying that I should,
hanging out of practice. We've known each other a long time. I'm just wondering for the future. I live in the world of oncology. I see plenty of people using, you know, inappropriately or unopposed hormones. I understand you're utilizing your compendium. I'm just putting it out there.
I know. And I just haven't had, like, I suppose it's because I believe in what I do so much. I see so much protection that when an issue comes up, I do address it. And with this particular patient, there were no issues, that there was no bleeding, there were no complaints that I had to say, well, we should rule this out.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I didn't even see the path report in our chart.
Me neither.
Okay, so there was a path report, but I didn't see the path report determining malignancy. It was atypical in tibia, but which, I don't know.
Had been from past birth control, 18, smoker, 18 of the HPV, and some factorial things that are involved. But I can see her point of view as to what reasonable responsibility would be. I read your forms that she did sign.
Have you changed anything about how you're monitoring that expectation that you're going to follow through with your primary care?
You know, since it's happened, I've been talking about you this morning. And I have been, I even actually ordered a few where they came from another physician on a formula I didn't prescribe and I wanted to make sure, but I haven't done it prior to this, so that's different. And, you know, my teacher, I've been studying this for a very long time, made the suggestion to us. She said, you guys are not going to chase mammograms and, you know, ultrasound, put it in your informed consent. Make the patient responsible because you're treating her with your prescription. She's taking care of her annual exams. If she makes sure they sign it, and then you don't even have to, you know, go over that unless there's something that comes up under your care that is suggestive of needing imaging.
I don't know if that's very good advice.
I thought it was great advice, but I want to know why you don't.
Well, most important, actually, it was page 25 from 12718. This is the pathology report, which says comment from there was no evidence of malignancy or hyperplasia, so I don't.
This is 22.
From what?
2328.
Okay. Yeah, and I didn't remember this. Page 28.
Is that
anyone else? Well, that's the
misrepresentation. So what do you mean you don't like the advice that this my teacher gave us?
Well, I think he's shirking responsibility in the medical field. I think if you're treating the patient and you're using treatments that can affect certain tissues that they will affect, and you're responsible for, you shouldn't put the illness on a patient because they might not understand the complexity of what's going on. And that physicians are supposed to diagnose and monitor and treat, in my particular opinion. And I just wouldn't want somebody to bring that anywhere to you.
I know. So are you suggesting, I'm just wanting to be frank with me, are you suggesting that for my female patients, they should have ultrasounds and mammograms prior to me treating them. Like, right prior to me treating them.
I don't want to say he was kind of official and on the record. And I just say that, I guess what I'm saying is that I think physicians, if they are giving a dose of prolic acid, something, they should monitor about prolic acid levels. Mm-hmm. Make sure that their treatment isn't causing some undue harm in the body, is what I'm saying. And I did read what you said, and all of what you just said, I read from the packet, and looked at your, clearly stated on your form, mm-hmm. Their consent to that. I was just,
so you think that's going to burn?
I just don't think that was good advice by him, and I don't
know. I definitely agree with that. Any downstream effects, I would say, are your responsibility, regardless of what you sign off on.
Yes.
And I, as far as I'm concerned, any lawyer would read through that if something actually did happen to that patient in 2 seconds. You know, I don't think you're protected in any manner based on that statement.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to say, but at the end of the day, that's your responsibility for those things. But yeah, like you said, there were no symptoms on the patient.
Mm-hmm.
So I know Dr. Rosie is kind of interested in the way he prescribes hormones, and definitely it's evidence-based, but I think it's evidence-based that generally the hormone replacement community doesn't necessarily follow all of those guidelines. So my understanding was that he's not, maybe I took his thoughts a few years ago, is he now proposing oral estrogen?
Yes.
Based on what? Based on what data, what kind?
Well, there's 6 studies like the CORA, EPAC, West trial, the end of the Kronos trial, and there's the Danish trial. And these are all estradiol studies that started in 2014. And they didn't exclude women with thrombophilia. They didn't exclude age, right? So plaque. There's primarily lots of plaque and stroke and heart attack. And in the estradiol studies, there's not been one stroke, heart attack, or blood clot. So they're recognizing that estradiol's estrogenicity is very different than primarily on our tissues. I used to run a calcium score prior to getting oral estradiol, not wanting to cause a stroke or heart attack. Now I'm seeing reversal of that plaque with oral estradiol, which is
beautiful. And the therapeutic levels that you're trying to get to on estradiol are above 100?
100
or greater, and then the progesterone you're shooting for 20 or greater?
20 or 2,000. I mean, the higher, the better. Assuming, I didn't say why, but I don't want to waste your time.
No, I just want you to be able to, I just want to make sure that if something happens, you have the backup. But I know these all top data and studies and everything, and just set it out of the norm for prescribing 600 to 900 milligrams of progesterone. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious on your testing, because there were some inconsistencies. Are you pretty militant on when to take the hormone versus when to do the labs? Because you can get essentially 100% different values.
So people take their hormone in the morning, progesterone at night, and their blood draws 5 to 6 hours later, so we can see a spike.
Okay. Because I saw there was a couple questions, like, does the patient take the thyroid or not, and et cetera.
Depending on the
yeah. And are you doing BID dosing on estrogen orally?
No. Morning.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's our attempt.
Okay. Do you... I mean, my experience is you're probably getting 12 hours of benefit if you want to see on level.
Yeah, once in a while, a female might need double, you know, twice a dozen breaths, and I can count them on one hand.
Yeah. I just didn't know if you were getting large fluctuations in how the patient feels based on 2 milligram estradiol up and down.
No.
You know,
I wish I had my patient care. Sure.
Yeah.
It goes great.
Are you using strictly E2 or are you using E3 also?
E2. Mm-hmm. Yeah. E2 converts to E3, so they get plenty.
And are you using just basically PLSR capsules?
For estradiol?
Yes.
I'm sorry, one other question. THC levels doesn't seem like
it's... I only draw the ferritin. Like, I don't have any view that I needed.
Okay. But I followed his protocols for a little bit afterwards, and the THC levels are ridiculous for men. On the dose, and he's recommending. So, yeah, I'd like to say you're not seeing the side effects, but it's.
I've tried a lot of experimental action.
Okay, there you go. That would help.
I didn't know if you studied with him.
Yeah, he's a big of a fan, for sure. So, okay, I just was curious on that little piece, because I know that the topical testosterone can really trigger those levels so high.
Right, and I prefer topical injections or powder without too much.
So, for this particular patient, did he have any blood test prior to? Did they bring it to you, the blood test, the results?
We do her labs prior to me meeting her. Okay. That's the standard. The patient gets the labs prior to me meeting them, so I can actually start.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't see, so that's why.
It should be in the scope the very first day, and then the scope knows.
Okay.
And I saw a question that I was reading through that Pompeo sent me that my dosages weren't clear. And, you know, my dosages were very clear to even show you that someone had written that my dosaging of the hormone, specifically thyroid, wasn't clear. I can show you where that is if you need me to.
I saw her commentary. I saw your notes. I thought it was okay. Yeah. Part of the documentation on that.
Well, just make sure I have the sequences right. Patient comes in, you get laboratory serologies, you discern what their levels of hormones should be. And then, obviously, prescription gets made. Most of the follow-up from that point done via Skype, via email, via telephone?
So I would say patients by telephone.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then if they're in-state, i.e. in Phoenix, do they come back and see you in a year and you draw laboratories?
Well, at least every year, everyone has come every year. Okay. But as I'm starting a female, I'm seeing her in 6 weeks and 6 weeks. And women take a little bit more to get optimized, or males, I'll see maybe in 3 months and in a year. So it just depends on when they become optimized and how they're tolerating and if all their symptoms are resolved.
And do you go back then in a year and just as standard protocol draw?
Every year, yes. They don't get refills if they don't have the blood drawn.
So the only real missing component would be the imaging and the actual cath, which they have signed. Which I agree with Dr. Rubin, it, as you probably well know, it could very well be a problem no matter what they're
saying. No, paper doesn't, I know, I get that.
the complaint that she did file, do you think the complaint was just basically done on how she practices, her practice standards as opposed to yours? Do you think the complaint came from the patient? Any speculation or idea?
Yeah, my first thought, because I didn't realize that she was an MD. I thought it was an MD having a problem with an MD. That's what I thought it was. Carla knows her. I don't know how Carla knows her, but I've never met her. One of my other physicians knows her too, and she said she practices major cure, so she wouldn't do like what I do. Would not probably make sense to her. But that's all I can say about that.
I can comment. Yeah. And this is just for, so she has sent us her residency. She's in, you know, the world of naturopathic medicine, and I've known Dr. Beeson for us, Fabno, like myself. My guess would be is that us Fabnos, for the most part, haven't yet adopted a comfort level with the amount of hormones. We live in the world of oncology. We see people with cancer. We see people die because of cancer. And so there's a big philosophical gap there. That would be my guess. I have no contact with her in this case whatsoever, just to be perfectly transparent and clear. I haven't talked to her in a long time, but I can see that. Yeah.
I'd love to educate. I'm almost done with my book. I have a research book on this. It's called the hormone book, just because there's so much confusion about D6 hormones. Hormones you talk about are also, you know, different. But the research on the hormones I prescribe is what I'm referencing. I'm already referenced before, so if that's not wanting to come in, you can. But I know what you're talking about, the PMX and stuff.
So it could be
Bruce.
So what happens if there's a particular patient that took the key and complained about it? What happens if
you... You know, I didn't know if I had permission to call her, so I didn't. Last time I talked to her, she was doing great, so I don't know. And do I have permission to reach out to her or not?
Be a patient, right?
Well, the this is a valid patient. That's what you're
asking. Oh, you mean to the other doctor?
No, I'd rather talk to patients. I mean, it's not sure I can talk to
patients. I don't think this case will discontinue.
Oh, okay.
The bone lab component, and I'm sure you're aware of it, and if it's in here, then I overlook it. Are you checking if you have them on a fairly high dose of test? Are you checking HNH? RBCs. Okay. And you're monitoring that so they don't have secondary.
Secondary what?
So they don't have secondary viscous issues with hemodynamics.
Blood. Now, I have about four gentlemen who donate blood and feel better for the most part. They don't. They really induce erythrocytosis, which is natural in elevation.
Right.
So here, like if men are tired, I tell them to donate blood. You know, every quarter, but it's not the majority of my male patients.
How about your females that you have?
They're worse than high enough to affect that in most cases.
But you will check.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. My only concern is just trying to prevent issues rather than having issues, you know, happen. That's kind of where I'm coming from. I can see the philosophical differences from her complaint in the first way here, a few things. The only concern that Dr. Rubin brought up at the beginning was just that somehow, you know, they're monitored. Do they sign a new consent agreement every year? So they're aware that a tap or a mammo may be warranted.
Can we make a motion?
I'll do that. Go ahead, make your motion.
I'm going to dismiss the case.
We need formal. I'll second your motion.
Any further discussion? Dr. Rubin? Dr. Spratt? Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Dr. Sabbath?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbet?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you.
Requesting a 5 minutes.
Yeah. It's 2:36. We'll meet back here. What, 2:45 one, please?
Okay.